This morning, I thought we would, the sermon this morning will coincide with what Steve has been teaching in our Genesis class and the adult Bible class on Sunday mornings. But I try to, as he goes maybe into some detail, I try sometimes to, in the sermon at least, bring out kind of a broader picture of some things. And this morning, I was thinking of the character of Abraham. And I thought that as you read about Abraham, and I think it's interesting, as you read through the accounts of the lives of each character in the Bible, especially the ones that you read again of in Hebrews, the faithful of God's servants, you read kind of a theme with them, don't you? The theme is that, one of the themes is that they're human and that they make mistakes, but they continue to go. They don't ever stop, those ones who are faithful, who make it into Hebrews 11. And I think you can say the same thing about Abraham in Genesis. Did Abraham make some mistakes? Well, there's no doubt he did. I'm glad my life isn't written in a book like Abraham's is, because you'd have a lot more to work with than what we had to work with Abraham, I can assure you. Things to learn from like that concerning mistakes. But you know, God delighted in those of His servants who were ready. And that's what Abraham was. As a matter of fact, I believe that's a common theme with all of God's servants too. He chose men and women who were ready, didn't He? They were His followers. They were devoted to Him. They were decided in what they were going to do. That they were going to do what was right. That they weren't going to stop. They knew what direction they were going to take. And all this applies to us today. That's why I thought it good to cover this aspect of Abraham. But the one thing that we read about that Paul said in Hebrews 10:39, just before he spoke of Abraham and the others, is that there are some who draw back to sin after they've launched out, after they've begun forward. There are some who turn back, he said. And then he says, but we are not of them who draw back. I think, to me at least, some of those powerful words in the Bible concerning what my life is to be as a Christian. Paul said, yeah, some are going to turn back. No doubt as the people that he wrote to, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but whoever wrote Hebrews, as he spoke these words to them, or as they were written down, and the people, his audiences, would read them later, no doubt they could cite many examples of people that they had known personally, maybe friends of theirs, definitely Christians, who had turned from God because of persecution, because the Christian life was too hard for one to live, because they had to give up too much, and other reasons. I'm sure these are kind of like marching words to me as I think of being in God's army. He says, many draw back, and they knew of many, no doubt, personally. But we are not of them that draw back. And that's one of the things, no matter the weaknesses that Abraham had, and we're going to talk about some of that this morning, Lord willing. But in spite of those things, Abraham was ready. When God told him to go to Canaan, what did he do? Stay right where he was? We talked about that this morning. We've been talking about that for a while, so I won't spend much time on this point. What did Abraham do when he was told to go to Canaan? He went. Because in his mind, he was ready to serve God. He didn't have to prepare himself mentally. He didn't have to weigh the options and think, okay, if I go, this will happen. If I don't go, I've got this here. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that he did that. I read that he was told to go by God, and he went. And it's because he was ready to go. This is in Genesis chapters 11 and 12. We read of that. Genesis chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls they had gotten that they had gotten in Haran, And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and in the land of Canaan they came. You know, that put Abraham to a lot of trouble. He had to really believe in God to do this, I would think. You know, as a preacher, I've moved several times in life. And I know there are many here who've moved before. And, of course, there's a lot of people in here who've helped me move before. But there's moving, and then there's moving in there. There's moving maybe across the county, and then there's moving to different states. And I've moved to Michigan and, I don't know, Tennessee and Alabama and different places like that. And I hate moving. I don't like trying to pack everything into my vehicle or rent something, which I never had the money to do anyway, and move it across the country maybe, somewhere else. Even down the road, does anybody like doing that? Packing up everything? Packing up all your dishes? Packing up all your clothes? Packing up everything? Putting it all together and moving somewhere else? Think about all these people had. And this is just obviously one light aspect of it. But Abraham and his family, all they had, they lived in tents for a long time because God told them to go. I don't know about you women in here, but I know as far as I'm concerned, that would be a hard thing to do, to leave my house behind and start living in a tent. I think Heather could probably identify with that too. I never asked her about that. And we like to go camping sometimes, you know, for a night. But by the next morning, I'm ready to go home, take a shower, get the smoke off of me from the campfire, eat some, you know, food at a table, aren't you? You think about all these people endured just because God told them to go. And it's because they were ready. We read some things about Abraham this morning in Hebrews 11, verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. A lot more there, really, than we even have the time to go into this morning that Abraham did. You know, not to mention, he wasn't some young person at this point, was he? Wasn't like he was in his early 20s. He was 75 when he went out. What are you ready to do for God? You know, I find myself in a world, and a lot of times I fit into this, I believe, too, this category. I find myself in a world where I expect God to do things for me. And I hear that. You turn on the TV, radio, you listen to preachers, what are they saying? If you serve God, He's going to bless you. He's going to give you money. Man, I hear that every time I turn on the TV. Yet what happened to Paul and the apostles, Peter and all them? Did they have a lot? The Son of God said, the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. He says the foxes have holes. They're burrows they live in. The birds there, they have nests. But the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Because it's going to cost you something to be a Christian. I don't mean come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean it's going to cost you something to be a Christian. To be ready. To give what you have for God and to God. To go, just like Abraham did. It cost him something. And it's going to cost us something as well. You know, Abraham also was one who was ready not only to go, but to worship. I think it's comical as we read through Genesis how many altars Abraham built. You ever notice that? You had to have if you've been in an adult class, because Steve, and I think rightly so, has mentioned it several times. Everywhere Abraham went, it seems he built altars, except Egypt. And I hadn't realized that until he mentioned that in class this morning. But he, every time you turn around, he's building an altar. I read of other men in the Bible who were of the same mind. And because of what Abraham did and men like Job, do you remember what Job did in Job chapter 1? Where could Job be found? Offering sacrifices continually for his children, just in case they had committed some sin. You think it was on his mind to be right with God, for his children to be right with God? Yeah, I know it was on Job's mind. There's no doubt. And you read the rest of the book, and that becomes apparent, doesn't it? Everything else the book of Job backs up that first impression you get of him in chapter 1. Abraham's the same way. Abraham was ready to worship because that's what was on his mind. You read in the book of Psalm chapter 1, the very first one. Talk about the man of God who's ready to worship as God, who meditates on the Word day and night. You know, if you want to be successful as a Christian, you know, you got all kind of self-help books and YouTube videos and everything else to tell you how to be successful in different areas in business and whatever other worldly area you want to think of. But if you want to be successful as a Christian, Christianity has to be that which is on your mind. And I'm afraid today it's not enough on our minds. Because I'll come to here on Sunday morning, but what am I going to think about between Sunday morning and Sunday night even? I know myself, and you know yourself. That's all I'm asking you to do this morning is just think about these things. You know what you think about. Monday at work, what are you thinking about all day long? Hopefully work, for one. What about in the evenings when you get home? Can you not wait to turn on that TV? Or does it ever cross your mind about opening the Bible? And that's all I'll say about that, because we all know ourselves. It's just something to work on. If we're going to be successful as Christians, if we're really going to get to heaven, if that's where you really want to go, it's going to have to be on your mind. You're going to have to be ready to worship God, ready always, because you're thinking about Him. I think that's why Abraham built idols everywhere. Or not idols, these altars to God. Because he was constantly thinking about God. If he hadn't been, he wouldn't have done that everywhere he went. You know, I think about his worship there too. These altars, these remembrances of God as well they were. And I think about us in society today. In a society that has become ashamed of God, really. The word prayer out in public, it's something to be avoided, isn't it? You talk about God and Christianity off to the side, because if you say something to somebody, they're going to be offended about it. That's accurate, isn't it? We live in the same society. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We hear all this stuff all the time on TV and radio, and we talk about it personally probably. Are you afraid to bow your head in public? Pray over your food, for example. I'm not saying you're wrong if you don't do that, but it's something to think about. What's your motivation if you don't do it? What's your motivation for not doing it? And then think about Abraham as he went and built these big altars everywhere to God. Everybody knew where he stood on that. Yeah, will I bow my head in public? Will I mention Christianity? Or am I afraid? You know, we talk about Abraham and the fear in his life, but I have to ask myself. And it's easy to open the book of Genesis and say, yeah, Abraham was afraid. That's why he lied about Sarah and all this stuff. And that's true. That's accurate. But am I any better? Have I worked on myself any more than Abraham did? Because it's all too easy to see in somebody else's life. I mean, y'all know me. Y'all begin to know more than you want to, I'm sure, the areas that I have to work on in my life. I volunteer them to you when I'm preaching a lot of the time. Just like the dryer belt that I mentioned, if y'all know what I'm talking about, then y'all do. But if you don't, I'm not going to do it again. Put myself out there again on that. But I ordered that yesterday, finally. Probably would have thought I would have gone ahead and already ordered it and put it in by now. But just yesterday, I ordered it. So it's about changing our lives, isn't it? It's about being different. It's about growing as Christians. You know, Abraham was also ready not only to go and not only to worship, but he was ready to trust. And that's a hard thing for us to do today. I know it's a hard thing for me to do a lot of the time, to trust. He was ready to trust in God. And trusting in God is a little bit different than trusting in maybe each other, isn't it? Yet I know plenty of people who trust more in another person or in their money, or in things that they have, or in their own selves, then they trust in God. Do you know God's more reliable than you are, than I am? I can trust God more than I can even trust myself. That's no surprise, is it? We already know that. Anybody who's been a Christian for years knows that. We know we can trust God unconditionally. I find that as we're reading Hebrews 11, verse 9, Abraham trusted God. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And we know his motivation, because he looked for something different, verse 10. He wasn't looking for the stuff in this life. Yeah, he went down to Egypt and got some of that stuff, some riches, some gold and silver, whatever. But what was his goal? What was he actually looking for? Where was he going to end up? I think that's why he dwelled in a tent, wasn't it? Because he wasn't worried about dwelling in some house on earth. He could dwell in a tent, live in a tent here on earth, if he could live in a mansion in heaven. And that's what it said he did. He looked for something different. He looked for something more. And that's what we have to do too. Do you really want just the things that are around you in this life? The things that get old, that wear out, as we ourselves? Or do you want something more also? I can tell you Abraham did, and he worked for it. He trusted in God. And you can see that in his whole life. Also, Abraham was ready to fight when needed. And just follow me on this for a moment. In Genesis 14, we're told that Lot was taken by some kings, and he was taken as a captive. And Abraham, I don't even read where he really thought about it. He just armed his servants, went out, fought, and got Lot back, because that's what he knew was right. Abraham was somebody who was ready. When God said do something, he went. When he saw something that needed to be done, he went. He did it. Do I need to fight as a Christian? Well, there's a different way, isn't there, for me as a Christian. See, our battle is a much more important battle today. And if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, if you've ever read that before, you read about that. He says, our warfare today, he said, soldiers, and these people were surrounded by this influence of these Roman soldiers marching around everywhere. They knew the armor they had. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about that armor. He says, Christians are in a war just like all these other nations, except it's not physical. They don't carry those physical shields and physical swords and wear that physical metal armor. He said, but we're in a war nonetheless. He said, ours is a spiritual warfare, though. That's why we use different weapons. Are you ready to go to war for God? That's what it takes. If you're not at war with the world, if you're comfortable in this world, you're not ready. You're not going to war. I don't mean that day after day has to be chaos and strife all the time. I'm just saying that if you're going to be a Christian, you don't belong here on this earth. We don't. That's why we can't find complete peace here except with each other. And if you can find complete peace somewhere other than around Christians, you probably need to think about your life. Anything about your goals, about what you're actually ready for, whether you're in the battle or not. You know, fifth, and we're coming to a close here, Abraham was ready to compromise. That's a hard one for us today, isn't it? It's a hard one for me a lot of the time, to compromise. And I don't mean in a negative way, because, you know, Abraham did compromise in some negative ways. But he also, in Genesis 13, he ran into a situation where there was strife between his family and, you could say, business and Lot, his brother's son, his nephew, between him and his business that he ran. The land couldn't take care of both of them. It couldn't support both of them and all their flocks and herds that they had. So what was Abraham's choice? Who was called by God, though? Wasn't it Abraham that he was the one sent out, wasn't he? Lot just kind of tagged along because Abraham brought him. Lot was allowed to come along with him. Yet what did Abraham do? Abraham kind of shows his character, doesn't he? They got to that point. Abraham didn't want strife. He knew something had to be done. So he said, look all around every direction. He said, and you choose the way that you want to go. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Lot says, lifted up his eyes. He beheld the well-watered plain of the Jordan. He said, I'll go there. So he went. Took the best for himself. Abraham didn't argue that we find anywhere here. He just went the other way. So he sacrificed something there, really, didn't he? You know, sacrifice is another thing that you read of a lot in Abraham's life. It's going to take us a lot of sacrifice to be Christians, too. We already talked about a little of that. But we haven't really talked about to what extent. But as I said, before we get into that, which is our last point, that Abraham was ready to sacrifice, he was ready to compromise. And so he did. He compromised with his nephew. He gave him the best, and Lot took it. And, you know, I have to ask us, are we ready to do the same thing with our brothers and sisters spiritually? When there arises strife between us, are we ready to say, step back and say, okay, you choose then. You choose what we're going to do. You choose the best way, the way you want to go with this, and we'll do it. And we do interact with each other, we should, on a lot of different levels, don't we, as Christians? We do physical things like something as simple as cleaning the building. We take care of the grounds, maybe. We teach classes together. We preach together. We do all sorts of things together. And sometimes we can kind of butt heads, can't we? Like those old stubborn goats. Remember, as I was growing up, we had one of those that chased me everywhere, even up trees sometimes. But we're not supposed to be like that as Christians. We're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to think more of our brothers and our sisters than we are ourselves. That's a hard one, isn't it? That's one you'll work the rest of your life on, I guarantee it. Or at least, if you're anything like me, you will. I had to work on that one daily. That's not what I want. It's what my brother, my sister needs. So Abraham was ready to compromise in positive ways. Are we ready spiritually to do the same? You know, he did compromise in some negative ways. How did he compromise? Well, he went down to Egypt, and because of his fear of death, no less, he compromised and lied about his wife. Half lie, still a lie. So we have to know the balance, don't we? Compromise my brother and sister on something that it's okay to compromise on, but there are things that we cannot compromise on. We can't compromise the truth. Can't compromise the truth of God, the Word of God, on the things that He said that we can't. Those things are written. They're written in stone, so to speak. And so we learn about compromise in this life, the right way to do it, the wrong way to do it as well. And last, we learn that he was ready to sacrifice of himself. And again, that's the one we really, or at least the one I really don't want to do a lot of the time, sacrifice. You know, I think about sacrifice as a Christian, and I think about things like giving my time that I could be spending doing something else I like hunting, fishing, I don't know, anything, whatever your hobby is, reading, taking time away from that to do God's will. Abraham built an altar, took his son there, tied him up, bound him so he couldn't get away, put him on the altar, took out the knife, and was in the act of sacrificing his son. And I say in the act because in his mind he had already done it. He was bringing the knife down, I believe, and the angel of God stopped him. Did Abraham sacrifice? You know, I think it's interesting the reason that he did. If you read a little further, you find that the reason he sacrificed, he said he knew, this comes back to trust in God. He knew that this was the son that God had promised him, and God had already promised that all the nations that he had talked about were coming through this son, and they are not here yet. So he knew that if God allowed him to kill his son there, he was able also to raise him up. See, that's his firm trust in God. I think that doesn't speak of a weak faith. That speaks of a strong faith. When you think about killing your child, I tell you, I can't even imagine tying Isaiah up, putting him on the altar, and cutting his throat like a sacrifice. That's pretty brutal to even say, isn't it? We try to put those people to death in our society to do that kind of thing. But because God said it, Abraham had already done it in his mind, in his heart. How ready are you to be a Christian today? How ready are you to serve? How ready are you to sacrifice what you have to sacrifice in order to be God's servant? Have you sacrificed at all? You know, there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who really haven't sacrificed anything. Really doesn't cost them anything to be a Christian. They still go on their life in the same way, and I've been guilty of that myself earlier in my Christian life. And sometimes I know I fall back to that. That's when we have to do what Abraham did, and when I make a mistake, when I mess up, what do? I just keep on going. I fix it as best I can with God, and I keep on going. That's why we preach sermons like this. If you're one who doesn't sacrifice for God, who's not doesn't cost you anything to be a Christian, you're one who really hasn't given anything to God or for God, it's not a sermon to put you down, to make you feel bad, to guilt you into changing. This is a sermon to tell you that there's hope. This is a sermon to tell you that as you're struggling, like I am, to be a Christian, to even just hang on to being a Christian sometimes. You ever feel like that? Like you're just hanging on to your Christianity? But even when you feel like that, just remember people like Abraham. It worked because they were ready. When they messed up, they fixed it and went on. If you have a need to respond to the invitation this morning, it's open to you. Are you a Christian yet? Well, if you're not yet a Christian, then you haven't begun even to sacrifice anything to God or for God. Because that's when He'll start to accept it, is when you become a follower of Christ. He won't accept your sacrifice before then, even if you try to make it. So you have to become a follower of Christ. You have to become a Christian. If you're already a Christian this morning and you've turned from God in some other way, why not make the church important to you this morning? Make God important to you. Have these things on your mind, not the things of the world that Satan wants to distract you with. Whatever your need, why not come while we stand and sing?